The total running time for this Rain Hamcast podcast is 18 minutes, 17 seconds, with an ID break at 8 minutes, 43 seconds, and timer breaks at 2 minutes, 54 seconds, 5 minutes, 49 seconds, 11 minutes, 35 seconds, 14 minutes, 29 seconds, 17 minutes, 17 seconds. Rain Hamcast podcast number 66 will begin in 3, 2, 1. This is Rain Hamcast podcast number 66, posted April 30th, 2022, voiced by Will Rogers, K5WLR. Podcasts abound by the thousands, well, to be accurate, 2.8 million. Everything from Aardvark, spelled with two A's, agenda, to ZZ, a pair of Z's, talk, not to be confused with the bearded ones. There are numerous special interest podcasts, the Rain Hamcast podcast for one. Another is
CQ Blind Hams, where we talk about all things ham radio from a blindness perspective.
In this Rain Hamcast podcast number 66, we're bringing you the second and final excerpt from The Man Behind Rain, an interview with Hap Holly, KC9RP, from the CQ Blind Hams podcast from earlier this year. This second excerpt is introduced by Julian Vargas, N1CA.
I was curious if Hap would take us through a little bit of his ham radio career in terms of what it was like in the early days and overall, what are the strategies he used to make the hobby accessible to him? I mean, nowadays, of course, we have these radios. We have the GD77 with the open firmware. We have other radios like the Kenwood radios that have some talking capabilities. But I'm curious to know how he did it in the early days before there was all this stuff.
I got my novice in 1965. This was before we had the volunteer examiner program. An older ham across town offered to give me the test, so he contacted the FCC that was 30 miles away in San Diego. They said he could administer the exam to me, and they sent him the exam. I took it verbally. Same way with the general. In those days, the novice license only lasted 1 year, and it was non-renewable. That really sucked. But that was also a good motivator to upgrade. Well, it didn't motivate me enough because my novice expired 6 months before I actually took the general. My first call was WN6UJH. Pretty awful call. I upgraded to WB6UJH. My first rig as a novice, I had a Knight T150 transmitter and a Hammerland HQ170A receiver. I had a device that I'll bet none of you guys have heard of that I used to help tune me up, make sure I wasn't going over my 75-watt legal limit, called an auditory circuit analyzer. No idea who made it. I don't know where my folks got it. I still have it, although it's in mothballs.
Smithsonian Institute? Is that what you're saying?
Actually, mothballs here in my house. I would like to donate it if there ever is a blind ham radio museum.
Ooh.
Yeah, get the wheels spinning there, Joel.
Is that the device that you used it by listening to the changing of the pitch?
Actually, it was a device that I listened for a null. I turned one big knob on the top of it. I had a braille notation, a single dot every 10% or what have you, and I would point it at a certain place, and then I would turn up the power on the transmitter when there was a null. I didn't hear anything. I realized that's where I want to be. I can describe that very well. It also had what they called a Wheatstone bridge, which I never used. It had other applications you could use it for, but I used it just for that. And because I had someone put a jack in the meter of my Hammerland receiver, I was able to give relative signal reports. to Phobos. Wherever it dulled is where the signal strength was, whether it was just the first dot or two, or if it was maybe halfway up the scale. I didn't have really any other adaptive equipment for a long time. My first voice rig was a Heathkit HW100 that a high school buddy built for me. Did a pretty good job, not perfect, but then he's a high school kid. It was a kid. But I learned a valuable lesson with that radio. The 100 does not have any way to tune the voice of who you're listening to. And with a voice like mine, guys on 40 meters, they had no clue how to tune me in right. And so we would chase each other around the band, trying to listen to each other and thinking, oh, I think that might be the right frequency, a right pitch. I don't know. So I learned after that to not buy a rig without RIT or incremental tuning clarifier. If a guy wanted to tune me about 100 or 200 hertz off my real frequency, it's okay. I just let him do that, and I would just be able to tune my receive where it should be for him.
1.18 seconds, 2.532 seconds, 4.380 seconds, 5.986 seconds, 8.051 seconds.
There was no other adaptive technology that I used. Interesting. I wonder how I did it all.
Probably found workarounds the way we all have done. So what about nowadays? What of the accessibility that's available now?
Nowadays, I too have a Kenwood TS-59DSG with the speech in it. I like it a lot. It's very accessible. It really does talk quite a bit. I've had the radio 2 years. It's because of guys like you that makes it so much more accessible. Because guys like Joe Steven, this guy is phenomenal. He gave me about an hour interview for a Brain Hamcast podcast. He covered so much, but he's a good speaker. He's amazing. I'm duly impressed. I'm not impressed by blind people very much.
Oh, Joe is. We've had him on at least two, maybe three times. And here's the mic. And Junior, yeah. I just sat back and just kept our mouth open.
Nonstop, good, valuable information. And then, you know, his passion, his dedication, his just his enthusiasm. And this guy, by the way, is not a guy that sits around doing nothing with all this time. You know, he works full time. He has a family, manages a farm. I mean, he's got a lot on his plate. And it's just amazing that he can juggle all that and still keep putting out this wonderful game-changing solution that so many blind hams are benefiting from these days.
And to have 9 kids, my wife and I opted not to have any, but to have 9 kids to be doing as much maintenance as he does on the farm. You guys know he's written 6 books.
Yes.
And the firmware package that we download with his firmware, he puts some of his writings in the package for people, anybody that wants to read them. And they're inspiring about his life story. And I think he's writing some fiction.
All this in Tasmania. I mean, we're not talking about New York City or urban America. We're talking about where the hell down there, miles from Australia. It's amazing how he got to where he is with programming.
It certainly is.
You're listening to our second and final excerpt from an interview with the man behind Rain, Hap Holly, KC9RP, originally aired earlier this year on the CQ Blind Hams podcast. We'll conclude this conversation in a moment. This is Rain Hamcast podcast number 66 for April 30th, 2022. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. This is Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Rain Hamcast on the rainreport.com and on YouTube.
My 2 meter 440 rig is a Kenwood TMV71A with the speech synthesizer in it. On 220, I'm using an Elenco 235, which is not accessible. I use a reference in memory zero of a birdie. I have a birdie somewhere around here. I don't mean a tweet birdie. That is my reference to memory zero. So I know that memory 13 is this and memory 18 or 19 is that. And that helps a whole bunch. Briefly, in my antennas, I have a little four element beam on 220. It's up 30 feet. And I keep pointing east towards Lake Michigan, which is about 20 miles east of me, to the 220 repeater I'm active on. The good guy is on 224.52. For 2 meters and 440, I have a stick on top of my little 40-foot tower in the backyard. That tower and the Mosley TA-36 six-element tri-bander for 10, 15, and 20 on top of it have been there since 1978.
Good gracious.
And no maintenance. Never have had to bring them down. That's going to have to stop some year.
Bolts are never coming out of that tower.
It's an old Heights aluminum, or if you're from the UK, aluminium.
Aluminium.
What kind of coax are you running on those antennas there, Hap?
They used to call it flexible hardline. 9913, they used to call it. I have a dipole for 160, 80, 40, and 17 meters, up 40 feet. Then I have a 40-meter vertical from 05 antenna built here in the Chicago area. And it's a kind of a pricey antenna, but very well built. And it works well. It's funny, 40 meters during the day, you know, is more horizontal. But at night, it's more vertical. And so they both antennas have their purposes. I have a lot here, 55 wide by 131 deep, which is typical Chicago suburban lot. My house is 950 square feet. It's little, but it has hot water heat in the floors.
Ooh, yes.
It's a dynamite during the winter.
And one nice thing about a small house, it doesn't take as much to heat it or cool it, so that's advantages.
That's true. And for Hulin, I just have three window units because I don't want to pay the money to have to put in ductwork in the attic because we don't have any. Remember, it's hot water heating the floor. It does not have any ductwork. And I would have to put in ductwork and then a central system. And I think, no, I just stay with
you're fine.
What I got. It works out well. I also have a solar system now on my roof. I've had it for a year, and that has cut down on the cost of the electricity, but it's added to my noise floor.
I was going to ask you about that, because I've been hearing a lot about solar panels. Actually, it's the charge controllers that some of them. Now, you can get some that won't have that noise, but I'm not familiar with the brand of them.
The problem is, I don't know what you mean by charge controllers, unless that's what you're referring to as that are called inverters.
Well, if you got a battery system, you have a charge controller.
Oh, okay.
To keep from overcharging the batteries and things like that, but you're running what's called a grid system.
17 panels on the roof. Certain times a day, depending upon where the sun is in the sky, I have more or maybe less noise. And of course, if it's cloudy, overcast, it's not bad at all. That's why nighttime is the best after sundown. I really would like to resolve the problem and haven't had a whole lot of success.
We're so thrilled to have you on tonight. Robert, do you have any more questions for Hap? Because we're getting into his HF radio in tonight.
No, I'm doing okay. That I can do anytime, and I do in the mornings.
I don't really have more questions, but it's been such a pleasure to meet you and to learn a little bit about you and your radio hobby and the Rain Report. Wow, how cool to kind of revisit all that a little bit. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. And we haven't even talked about my wife and how I met her, but we can do that another time.
We can have volume two.
All right, part two. There we go.
I just wanted to get you on and let everybody on the CQ Bond Hams know about the Rain Report, or the Rain Hamcast, as it's now rebranded. And now it's in podcast format that they can get on any podcatcher. And so be sure and subscribe to the Rain Hamcast. I did that the other day, and I listened to the two episodes that I had automatically downloaded the first time. So I've got to go back and get some more of the archives, and I want everybody to do so.
Well, I will toot my horn here a little bit, that I was the 2002 Ham of the Year at Dayton Ham Convention. I remember they called me in March of 2002. They told me that I've been named the Ham of the Year. I was speechless.
Wow.
This is really unusual for me. I'm such a blabbermouth. My wife and I are now done going. It's a lot of labor. It's a 300 drive. Hello. Sounds like golf, which I don't do. 300 miles each way from Chicago. I put in my time since 1985. Almost like 40 years or something like that. Anyway, it's a while. And I'll just say also, I put 40 years in with the local Lions Club before it dissolved a couple of years ago, our local one here in Des Plaines, Illinois. And I put in 39 years with Toastmasters. Toastmasters is a phenomenal organization for anybody to learn how to communicate better. Thanks for interviewing me. I think I've been interviewed on the fingers of one hand in all these years.
Well, it's time. You've put your dues in, and now it's time for you to be celebrated. And in 2002, we can now say we have had an award-winning ham on our program. So thanks for that. You've been our one and only award winner.
That and a buck and a half might get you a cup of coffee somewhere, but I don't know.
I want to say good night to all the listeners, and we usually end the show by saying 73.
73, everybody.
73 to all of you.
Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and visit www.blindhams.com.
And that concludes this interview with Hap Holly, KC9RP, the man behind RAIN. Excerpted from a conversation Hap had with the CQ Blind Hams podcast earlier this year. RAIN Hamcast podcast number 65, containing the first excerpt from this interview, together with all RAIN Hamcast podcasts and archives of most RAIN reports from 1988 to 2019, is available on therainreport.com. Thanks to Tom Shimizu, N9JDI, for his maintaining the RAIN Report channel on YouTube. Hap Holly, KC9RP, edits and produces this bi-weekly ham radio hamcast without monetization. Your support and feedback are welcome via PayPal to hap@therainreport.com. Copyright 1985, 2022, RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network. All rights reserved. RAIN programming is made available under a Creative Commons license. You are encouraged to download, share, post, and transmit these RAIN hamcasts in their entirety via amateur radio. RAIN Hamcast podcast number 67 will post May 14th, 2022. From RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73, and don't forget to keep on hamming.